Welcome to So Many Bits. I'm your host, Bill Nielsen, and joining me once again from this palatial VoIP palace in the middle of the internet is Cliff Murphy. Cliff, how are you?
I'm doing really well, Bill. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I'm just looking at my fantasy football rosters and seeing the numbers go up, and sometimes they go up enough, but sometimes they don't go up enough, and I lament the random dice rolls that have affected my mood.
Man, that is just classic fantasy football, you know? You just want those numbers to go higher, but it's just like, sometimes they don't.
And it's like, sometimes this guy has a very serious injury, and then I can't get points for his performance, and that makes me personally angry.
It's unbelievable how some people just don't, they don't even think about other people before they get injured.
I don't think any fantasy football anecdote is funny, but if there is one, I think this is the closest to it. This didn't happen to me, which I think helps my argument.
Okay.
Is a friend was like a, this happens a lot. They signed up for a league and they're just not playing, which, you know, it happens. It's fantasy football. That's like just a
sure.
part of the process.
Uh-huh.
And their starting quarterback for that week was injured and he was like ruled out. He was not going to play, but he was going to start him anyway. Just he wasn't paying attention. So the,
okay.
You know, Sunday starts and the game starts playing, and for some reason, like midway through the first quarter of the game, the injured quarterback comes in and starts playing, even though like throughout the entire week leading up to it, it had been said that, oh, he's just not going to play. He's hurt. And then it's like, eh, he's just going to play anyway. And then he did really well, and my friend won because he started this guy who was injured.
So just what are the, like, he's not even paying attention to who he's putting in, and just by sheer dumb luck, this guy ends up showing up. God, the game of champions.
It's not the only game of champions out there, though. I think we're both champions in our own ways, Cliff, so I feel like I need to ask, hey, Cliff, what you playing?
Thanks for asking. I haven't been playing too much recently, but I have been playing a couple of things. First off, I've been playing the video game adaptation of the board game Terraforming Mars. Do you know anything about Terraforming Mars at all?
I know next to nothing about this game.
Awesome. I also knew next to nothing about this game. A friend of mine asked if I could look into it. In some of my friends' groups, I'm the guy who figures out the games and then learns how to play them and then teaches them to everybody. And so a friend of mine said, hey, can you check this game out and learn how to play it and then teach us how to play it? And I said, yeah, sure. That's what I like to do. So Terraforming Mars came out a couple of years ago. I think it came out 2016. And on Board Game Geek, it's very highly rated. So it's number 3 overall on Board Game Geek, which I was immediately surprised about. 1 and 2 make a lot of sense on there. Number 1 is a board game called Gloomhaven, which you may have heard about, but it's essentially
that one I've heard about.
Yeah, dungeon crawling experience RPG, just gigantic box full of all sorts of crazy stuff, like pretty good. And then number 2 on that list is Pandemic Legacy Season 1, which is another, you know, big box full of surprises, and every game you play affects future games and things like that. But then coming in at number 3 is Terraforming Mars, which between the three of them, Terraforming Mars is the only game of the three which doesn't have like legacy components to it and is really just a more straightforward sort of Euro game, I would almost say. Here is probably what I would say. But it's really just like a straightforward board game when you're just playing against other people, which I thought was really interesting. But essentially the premise here of this game is that you're working together to terraform Mars, and you can do things on your turn. You can pay a little bit of money to like increase the temperature of the planet, or you can play a little bit of money to put an aquifer on the planet, put a little bit of water on there, or you can pay a little bit of money to like put some greenery on the surface of the planet. You can build cities, which will give you points at the end and also give you a little bit of income on your turns. You also get cards, and you can draft cards, or you can, you know, draw and pay for the cards that you want to keep, whatever way you want to play. And so there's a whole bunch of different things that you can do. So it's got a lot of different options and, you know, ways to approach it and things like that. And because I wanted to learn how to play this game really well, I said, okay, well, there's a, you know, on Steam, there's a, you know, a version of this game. And so I said, well, I'll pay for this game and then I'll just learn how to play it through that. And that'll be good. I'll learn how to play it and then I'll play it with my friends. And,
yeah, makes sense. Yeah.
Right. And since I bought it, I put like 12, 13 hours into this, just playing this game. And there's like a solo mode when you basically just have to terraform the whole planet yourself before round 14. And you can play against computer players and things like that. And the thing that's really interesting about this is the presentation of this game is super, super slick. Like, it's got like a cool, like, synthy background music, clicking on stuff, and it's just well explained, and it's slick, and it's cool. It's got like neat little effects. It's real clear what the impacts of playing certain cards are, because resources will like show up in red if they're going to be negatively affected, you know, or they'll show up in blue if they're going to be positively affected. And the cards all have like the descriptions really clearly written on there, so it's all really neat and clear, and it's, I just think it looks real super slick, which I thought was real cool. But interestingly enough, on Steam, all the reviews are mixed, and people are saying, like, oh man, this thing is so buggy, I can't believe that they let this get through, I can't believe this is happening, the developers need to step up and fix some of these problems. And I'm looking at this, huh, and I'm like, what problems are here? I mean, admittedly, I haven't played it online, which is an option that you can do, but I'm looking at this, and I'm like, I'm really enjoying this, and I think that it's very smooth and slick. And people are being very critical of this. So I don't know what is going on necessarily with the review section there. But I'm enjoying playing it for just like a, you know, a video game adaptation of a board game. I think that it really solidified my understanding of how to play this game, which is very cool. So I've been enjoying it. Don't know necessarily if I would recommend it. I would say perhaps play the board game itself. But it's I think it's neat.
It's perhaps tricky to adapt a board game into video game form, because once you break down that barrier between the two, like, now you are judging by different standards as to how this game is supposed to operate, and things you might have forgiven in a physical product, you may not forgive in a digital product. So, I mean, Steam reviews are very strange to me, because they seem extremely powerful given the amount of influence that people can have with very little time spent on the game, if any.
Hmm.
And, yeah, so it's always, like, whenever I see, like, mixed, I'm like, okay, I need to go in and delve deeper as to what these reviews are saying.
See what's going in there. Yeah, and see why is it so mixed? What's actually going on?
Like, I mean, some people will participate in what's known as review bombing, where maybe a game has an ideological stance that people disagree with, or, mm-hmm, you know, we won't even say what kind of stance it is. Just like, that there is an ideological stance they oppose, so they and a bunch of the people they know will go and leave a negative review saying, take that ideological stance out of the game.
And maybe some of these people in the comments here are just really opposed to the idea of terraforming Mars. They just don't like it. And they
appreciate the natural beauty of our neighbor in the solar system, and they do not want it to be disrupted inappropriately.
That's it. They're saying, leave Mars alone. Mars is fine. We don't need to go and change it.
Yes, if they could make their own video game or board game, it would be Don't Terraforming Mars.
Don't Terraforming Mars. And then the more you terraform Mars, your score gets lower. The way to win is to just pass on your first turn and not do anything.
Yes, exactly.
That's their ideal game.
Ironically, you can terraform on Phobos or Deimos, and it's fine. That doesn't cost you any points.
Yeah, no, they're fine with that. They don't care about moons. But it's the planet themselves. They're like, don't touch it. So yeah, so that's one of the things that I've been playing a lot of. I did also have a pretty neat experience over the weekend with a a separate game. Myself and my partner were babysitting her niece and nephew, and her niece is 11 and her nephew is 6. So we had them over over the weekend, and they got really excited because they saw, you know, I had the Nintendo Switch set up. And so I said, if you like that, you're going to love this. And then I pulled out Terraforming Mars, and I was like, okay, so basically here's the premise. And then we got really deep into it, and it was way over their head, but I had a good time. No, we played Mario Kart. And I've played Mario Kart with students before. I'm a high school teacher, and so on occasion I'll bring Mario Kart in and we'll play it. And so I've played Mario Kart with students of different age levels, but I've never played Mario Kart with a 6-year-old before, which was an interesting experience. And it was interesting in the sense that I immediately saw the value of steering assist, which is the feature that they put in place to try and keep racers on the track, right? Because this kid, at the beginning, he couldn't necessarily even figure out how to hold the controller properly. We kept turning it and being like, no, you gotta hold it like this. And then we'd look back over and he's like flicking it at the screen. And we're like, no, nope. So but with the steering assist on, he refused to have auto accelerate turned on. He was like, no, I can do it. Then he kept taking his finger off the button, so, okay. But with the steering assist on, like, he was able to be competitive, and we were just playing on 50cc, but, like, throughout the course of the night, he beat his sister a couple of times at the game, which he was very proud of. But just having that feature in place allowed the four of us, you know, of all varying levels of ability at the game, to play together. And he lost, you know, the majority of the time, but he was always competitive simply because he was being kept on the track. And I think if that thing was turned off, he would have had a much worse time, because just staying on the track in itself can be challenging in certain levels of that game. So I just thought that it was a very, very cool feature that was in there, and I never really fully appreciated it until we were, you know, playing it with this 6-year-old kid over the weekend. So that was something else that I was doing, and I thought that it was a neat thing that I wanted to share.
That is neat. Yeah. I don't myself get to interact with kids that much, but like the fact that Nintendo builds in these like all age accessibility options, it helps. It helps engender this interest in Nintendo from an early age, which is good for them, and then also makes it so kids can have fun. And I imagine too, like if he got like the Bullet Bill item, like that's just fun to watch.
Yeah,
like, you know, you shoot Bullet Bill, you're like whizzing across the screen. That's got to be great too.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that, because that was his favorite item to get. So yeah, that was it was very cool, and made me appreciate that feature. How about you, Bill? What have you been playing?
Well, I've been playing a couple things. So I started dabbling with Titanfall 2. Titanfall 2 is a shooter. I think its primary intent is like you're supposed to play it online and like in teams with other people. And it's the predecessor to the current game Apex Legends by the same studio. And Apex Legends is pretty popular as like one of those battle royale type games. And you can see a lot of what Apex Legends does well when you play Titanfall 2. Now, I'm just playing the single player campaign.
Okay.
And the story itself is extremely dull. It's it's literally just like, you are the good army, you must defeat the bad army. Here is this paternal figure who is going to show you how to play and then die in 5 minutes to give you pathos.
Okay. Well, at the same time, though, if you don't defeat the bad army, they're going to take over.
That is true. And luckily, what they so far have done with the game is make it really fun to play. Because, you know, it's got the standard first-person shooter elements. You know, you got your guns, you got your grenades, you try and get behind cover, and, you know, you do the melees and stuff. But traversing the environment requires you to, like, do jumps and double jumps. And then there's wall runs. So like you'll double jump and flow into a wall run, and then like double jump off the wall onto another wall, run off that wall, double jump to get to some platform off in the distance. And it feels really cool. It feels really smooth while you're doing it. There's a very generous clamber. So like if you're near an edge, you'll like you grab the ledge, you pull yourself up, and they've managed to make it feel fluid and forgiving at the same time.
Interesting. That sounds super slick.
It has been so far, yeah. So like admittedly, I basically just got through the tutorial and like the first level, which is where they introduce the other part of the game, which is the Titans. Hence the Titan Fall.
Mm-hmm.
You get these robots and you can jump into them and pilot them, and they have like incredibly powerful attacks and they move real fast, jump real high, shoot lots of missiles, but they're like only available under limited circumstances. Like in this first mission, you find your dead father figure's mech, and he transfers the mech to you right before he passes. And this part is kind of silly to me. It's like, so you know, this is supposed to be a war. You're fighting a war, and you get knocked out, and that's when your father like sacrifices himself to save you, basically.
Okay.
When you come to, the mech is fine. It's like totally fine. The only thing wrong with it is it's got a low battery.
That was it. That's what led to your father's demise, was that he ran out of batteries.
Pretty much it. Like he falls out and he's like, "Arr." But like when you look at the mech itself is completely intact. There's no like damage to it, just the battery.
Okay, sure. All right. Well, okay. Maybe if you ignore that, you'd be like, okay, well, let's keep rolling.
Yeah. I mean, like, I was like, okay, fine. I'll go get a battery. And it was fun to go get the battery. You had to like climb up this mountain, and then you had to like go into the wreckage of your crashed spaceship and like jump around in there to get the battery and bring it out. And then you put it in the mech and the mech fires up, and that part is rad. You're shooting with the mech. It's cool.
Very cool. I have heard a lot of very good things about Titanfall 2. So it doesn't super surprise me that you're having fun with it, just based off of everything positive that I've heard.
And if you're interested in playing it, I can say that like for PS4 and Xbox and PC, it seems like every time I turn around, it's like $5.
Oh, awesome. And for $5, you'd recommend people pick it up and give it a shot?
Yeah, I would definitely recommend that. I would definitely, at the very least, check out the single-player campaign. I'm not saying the multiplayer online game is bad. It's probably fine, but my general gut instinct here is that like if you're going in as a newbie, everyone in there is just like a hardened commando and will like rip you to shreds.
For sure. That's always the hesitancy I have about the online games, is that everybody else has been playing it forever.
That's what pushed me away from Apex Legends, which is the newer game they're working on. It's like no one was like rude to me or anything when I was mm-hmm. playing, really.
Right.
But like literally every time I got in a gunfight, I lost. And it's just like, well,
yeah,
obviously I'm not good enough to play this game unless I like practiced a lot more, and I don't have time or inclination to do that.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, I played Fortnite for a little bit. 2 years ago? Holy crap. How long has that game been out? I play just for like a little bit, and I would not ever do particularly well, and it would get to the point, just like when you said, whenever you get into a firefight with somebody else, I'd die very quickly, and I'd be like, okay, well, sorry, I could invest much more time in this game and get a lot better, but I don't really want to.
Yeah, I hear you. I totally hear you.
Got things to do, right?
Right, yeah. If I'm gonna, like, I keep thinking about picking up, like, Destiny 2,
mm-hmm.
because at least there it's cooperatively based, so I can just like go in and, you know,
yeah,
go at my own pace with people I know.
Mm-hmm. That would be much preferred to getting your butt handed to you by an 8-year-old who does nothing but play this game.
Someone who has
no life.
It's okay though, they're allowed to. The other game that I've been playing, and I've only played it a little bit so far as well because I'm physically limited, is I've tried out Nintendo's Ring Fit.
Ooh, I am very interested to hear what you think about this because it sounds like it's real nice.
So far, I'm really impressed. I have enjoyed the time I've spent with it. Now, overall, I'd say I've put in like 90 minutes, so like 3 sessions of a half hour each over a few different days, and I can report back with some good points and bad points.
Okay, Lay it on me.
All right, well, let's start with the good. Nintendo has a certain quality to their craft that shows up in basically every game they make, and it's present here. Like, you know, it's somewhat of a juvenile story, which is, you know, that's what Nintendo does. I'm not expecting them to change that. But I would expect most people who play this are teenagers at least, or adults more likely. And it's just a lighthearted story about, like, you're this person who falls into this mystical fantasy world, and you pick up an amulet, and conveniently in the shape of a flexible ring, and you carry it around with you, and you have to beat the evil dragon. Or is he evil?
Are you saying that Ring Fit Adventure, the fitness game, is introducing, like, moral ambiguity in its villain character?
The ring you carry talks to you, and the ring is like, well, I used to hang out with the dragon, and he wasn't a bad guy back then. Something must have happened to him.
Okay. Absolutely. You go, that writers of Ring Fit Adventure, you go ahead. I just was not expecting it.
Like, they're earnestly trying to present to you a classic RPG story. And, you know, you go to different spots on the map. You fight enemies as though it's a turn-based combat.
Mm-hmm.
I have not encountered one yet, but I'm sure there are shops where you can shop and buy gold, because I've been collecting gold this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
You get EXP bonuses for doing different things in the game, but it's all done through exercise.
Hmm.
So, we'll just go through a typical stage. The game is broken up into different stages. At the onset, it'll say, like, hey, here's how long we expect this to take,
mm-hmm.
and how many calories we would expect you would burn while doing this. And then you jump in, and to move your character, you have to run.
Mm-hmm.
You are attaching one of the Joy-Cons to a strap that goes around your thigh, and then the other Joy-Con goes in the ring you're carrying. And you jog to move your character. You sometimes will have to do, like, high knees to get up some stairs or get through some mud. You might have to aim the ring down and push it in to get a puff of air to, like, jump over obstacles and all that kind of stuff to get around the environment.
That actually sounds pretty cool.
And, like, there'll be select items on the sides of the screen. You're, like, running along a road. So, like, off to the right, you might see some coins, and you can expand the ring, and that pulls things in, and that'll help you pull the coins. So it's very active, and there's a lot of variety to, like, keep it from getting dull. And that's the nicest thing, I think, is, like, it is truly making exercise into the game, like, as advertised.
Hmm. Very cool.
Yeah, and then you have these monster fights that'll pop up sometimes, so then you stop, and you'll fight the monsters, and your different attacks are different exercises. So, like, for example, you might do squats. And so every time you do a squat, if you do use the correct form, you will deal, like, 6 damage. But
mm-hmm.
if you don't do the correct form, you'll only deal, like, 4 damage. And it'll try and guide you. Like, there's an image on the screen to show you, like, what the correct form is. And, like, it'll say tips to you. It's like, remember, don't extend your knees over your toes. Stuff like that.
That is very interesting. Is it pretty good at figuring out when you're doing it the right way and the wrong way? I've done some squats before, and I can lose track of my form real easily.
See, that is a concern of mine. I feel like it's pretty good about that. Like, the Joy-Con fidelity is pretty good. I think, and this is maybe one of the drawbacks to this game, is, like, at the end of the day, the game is not a personal trainer. It cannot correct your form perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you might be doing something not entirely wrong, but somewhat wrong, and it might not be able to fully track that.
Yeah. For some of these exercises, too, I mean, I guess you're not doing, you know, like a deadlift or anything like that. But I imagine for some of these exercises, having the proper form is going to potentially be the difference between doing it, you know, in a healthy way and injuring yourself.
It's true, yes. And I think they've mitigated the risk to a degree, because a lot of the like muscle work is done with the ring, and it's all resistance-based. So you're only able to put in, like, as much, basically, force as you can personally exert.
Okay. What material is the ring made of? Does it seem like it'll break easily?
I I can't say exactly. I mean, it's like a, it seems like a lightweight plastic, and it comes with like fabric rings that go around two slots on the ring so you can hold it comfortably even if you're sweating, so it won't like slip out of your hands.
Okay.
And I haven't gotten the impression that it's anywhere close to like cracking or like breaking, and I've bent it pretty harshly. Like there'll be like an ab move where you push it against your stomach, and then you can with that leverage you can exert a lot of force on the ring, and it's felt fine so far.
Interesting.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it. I just got an item that means each exercise you have in your attack pool has a different color associated with it. And now this item means if I see an enemy that's a certain color, if I match the color, I'll do extra damage. So that'll encourage me to do certain types of attacks against certain enemies and keep the variety up.
And keep it so you're not just doing squats the whole time necessarily.
Exactly, yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. That is a super nifty way of doing these exercises. I've always thought that at putting in, let's imagine a game when you're like actively running through the world of Skyrim, you know, that would for sure get me out running more quickly than running around the town I live in, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. I can totally understand that. Like, I'm pretty blessed that I live right next to Lake Michigan, and I have a very scenic route that I can take for like if I want to run outside. But even that, like, it's, you know, it's the same route. It's not always going to be that lively, and to have something that changes things up for me and keeps it fresh. Like, the nicest thing I can say about it is, like, every few stages you have to fight the dragon. It's like the boss fight, and I got the dragon down to half health, and I was getting kind of tired in my workout, and I was like, I don't know, maybe I'll just stop for the day. And I looked, and I was like, well, he's down to half health already. I can just keep going. And I went, and I cranked out another, like, 20 squats and another 20 crunches, and I beat the dragon. I was like, all right, yeah, I did it.
Oh, that is very cool.
The only drawbacks, the one that we already alluded to, is, like, you are unsupervised when you are doing this, so you have to be careful. You don't want to overexert yourself, and you know the game is telling you, be careful, stop if you feel pain, make sure to hydrate, make sure to get rest.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, you still can be your own worst enemy. Like, just even doing I actually, full disclosure, right before we started recording, I was doing an exercise. I wanted to get one more in to have the experience. And during the cooldown, like, I was, like, shifting my hips, and like in the process I felt like I was darn near yanking my shoulder out of its socket, just like this weird move I wasn't used to.
Oh.
I was like, ow, geez, gotta be, even doing a cool down stretch I had to be careful there.
Oh man, that is, yeah, that's tricky. Oof. Yeah, that I guess would be one of the concerns that, well, I think the first concern I would have is, would I break it? But then the second concern is, would I break myself? So it's very interesting. But is that the only moment that you've had when you felt as though you might be injuring yourself? Has it happened other times?
That was the only time. Okay. Every other time, like, after the first day, like, I felt a little sore, but I think, like, in the good exercise way sore, where it's just like you haven't used these muscles much.
Yeah.
The only other drawback I would have, and I, you know, this might not apply to everyone, but if you are living in an apartment or in a condo or some other space where you are limited, it can be a bit tricky to devote the right amount of space to the ring fit. Like, I had to back my coffee table up to make sure I have space. And even then, I'm probably kind of pushing it in terms of, like, how much room I'm giving myself.
Hmm. It reminds me of people getting ready to play, like, Wii Sports back when the Wii was released. And it's like, okay, everybody, let's clear out everything and push all the tables aside and make sure that we've all, you know, we've got adequate space and we've got our, you know, wrist straps on.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So would you recommend it?
Yes, I would recommend it. I've only done it 3 times, but, I mean, I feel like I already had a pretty good habit of exercising on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So just keep that in mind. It's like there have been times where I've done like 5 days a week of exercising. Right now, prior to Ring Fit, I was doing like 3. So I feel like I can maintain this habit without changing my lifestyle too much. Just
okay.
Be mindful of that if you are looking to make that plunge. And yeah, Cliff, that's all the games I've been playing. So
very cool. Very cool. I like them both.
Thank you very much for coming back on to talk about the games you've been playing. If you want people to find you anywhere, either in person or online, Cliff, where can they find you?
They can find me on Twitter. I'm at Mr. Cliffo. Post very infrequent tweets, largely about conversations that I have during the day. And then I laugh to myself and then I say, I should record that. And I throw it onto Twitter.
As for us, we can be reached by email at somanybitspodcast@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook, we're So Many Bits on there. Follow us on Twitter and Tumblr at So Many Bits. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Please rate and review or download from Simplecast, from SoundCloud, from YouTube, or stream via Spotify. We play games, twitch.tv/SoManyBits, Wednesday and Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Central Time. Wednesdays for Magic the Gathering Online or MTG Arena. Thursdays for a variety of different games. Recently I've played Control. I've played Trauma Team. I've played Super Mario Maker 2. So just we run the gamut of different genres. And if you like this podcast and you want to listen to other nerdy podcasts, consider checking out nerdalogs.com, which is where this podcast plus others are hosted. And last but not least, thank you very much for listening. Have a great summer.